It seems as if terrorist attacks are happening more frequently than ever around the globe, and this has caused one Muslim American student to continuously check the news, immediately hoping perpetrators are not of his religion.
Any major event or like attack that may happen, you're thinking like, oh, I hope that guy isn't Muslim. That's like always the first thought of any major attack that's on the news or headlines, because then, you know, there will be another wave of like hate, really, Islamophobia, yeah.
That was Shafi Khan, a sixth-semester Allied Health Sciences major at the University of Connecticut. Khan says it is, quote, worrisome waiting to find out an attacker's identity because it often takes a day or two to confirm such information. He says he has also been affected in other ways by negative perceptions of Muslims. His parents, who are from Pakistan, are concerned about growing Islamophobia and do not want him going to Europe this summer because of it. Speaking more generally, Khan says that President Donald J. Trump's travel bans have made problems for Muslims.
Honestly, it's almost unpredictable. He could sign an executive order the next day that says, you know, no Muslims allowed in the country. And of course, like, it could be overturned and all, but it's just, it's kind of scary how much of an impact he has.
The Trump administration's policies and a surge of Islamophobia have caused a range of feelings in the local Muslim community, from fear and uncertainty to optimism and proactiveness. Multiple members of UConn's Muslim Student Association say the president's rhetoric has increased anti-Islamic sentiment in the United States, breeding intolerance and misunderstanding. Whether students or not, other Muslims also deal with issues like Khan's. Fahad Taslim is the founder of DC Seminary, a Houston-based institute that spiritually empowers Muslim professionals, graduates, and undergraduates. Taslim says he and others had planned to travel for this year's Hajj, the annual Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Even though Saudi Arabia was not affected by Trump's travel ban, Taslim says a lot of people canceled due to fear of being barred from re-entering the U.S. He also recently adopted a girl from Morocco and had to travel and stay there for a month. Although Morocco was also not included in the ban, Taslim says his family and friends worried about whether he would be allowed to return to the States.
It's really hampered a lot of people's ability to travel. I mean, it's their own fear. That climate of fear is something that I've really sensed a lot within, you know, my own family, within the Muslim community, and so on and so forth. So,
the travel ban has affected couples as well, at times keeping loved ones an ocean's width apart. Basil Akach, a 10th semester student from Syria studying allied health sciences, says Trump's order temporarily prevented his cousin Ala from bringing his Syrian wife to the U.S. from Jordan. Even though Ala is an American citizen and his spouse obtained a visa the day before the ban, she could not come until 2 weeks after it was lifted. Akach, who is also an American citizen, says he was not individually affected by the policy, but others have not been as fortunate.
It's gotten even irrational, and it kind of affected a lot of people who work here, build their lives here. They may not have, like, you know, the citizenship, but they're still, like, people who have, like, you know, like, their own property. They're students in universities. They have businesses. And so, like, there's, like a lot of diverse people who have been affected by this, basically. Doctors, engineers, and other people.
According to the Pew Research Center, 59% of Americans disapproved and 38% approved of Trump's policy to stop refugees from entering the U.S. for 120 days and to prevent visa entries from 7 majority Muslim countries for 90 days. In addition to Akach, other MSA members described difficulties Muslims have endured during their travels. Fahim Ibrahim, whose family is from Bangladesh, is the MSA vice president and a sixth-semester mechanical engineering major. Ibrahim says he received unequal treatment from airport security last winter when traveling to his family's home country. It occurred during a stop at Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, where he says he was put in a room for 2 hours while officials checked his baggage.
It was kind of like out of the blue, because I had an American passport, but I felt like just by my last name, they kind of just randomly selected me and just wanted to look through my stuff a little extra.
He adds that there were other, quote, brown people in the room with him as well, but he just referred to it as, quote, typical stuff that goes on.
The Bengalis or like the Muslim people, because I'm Bengali myself, they treat them way differently than the people who look, you know, more American. Even though we had American passports, they would still treat us differently.
MSA President Sana Suhail says the U.S. Transportation Security Administration inconveniences Muslims in general. However, she says that since the bans, they have been interrogated even more. Suhail recalls when airport security agents detained one of her friends for 16 hours in March. They took her passport and made her await questioning before being allowed to fly from the U.S. to Israel. Suhail says she believes Trump's bans mostly affected everyday travelers rather than catching those who pose a real threat.
I just think that it's creating unnecessary hysteria and unnecessarily exacerbating Islamophobia in general.
The hysteria is apparently not limited to just the U.S. Professor Rita Amar, the MSA faculty advisor and director of UConn's Islamic Center, says there is a phobia in Arab countries' airports because of an obligation toward U.S. interests. During the March 2016 terrorist attacks in Brussels, Belgium, Amar was at the airport in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. After telling a security official about his artificial knee, he was sent for inspection but repeatedly failed. Subsequently, an inspector began prodding into the knee.
He started trying to find out something inside. I was laughing. What are you doing? You look at this. This is done 3 years ago. Do you think that I bought a bomb for 3 years?
The tighter restrictions have also impacted another everyday traveler, MSA event coordinator Nur Elafi, who says that having Libya as the place of birth on her passport makes traveling more difficult despite being an American citizen. An eighth semester physiology and neurobiology major, Elafi says it is most challenging when family members try to visit her and vice versa. She also says her mother recently traveled from the U.S. to Palestine when she was held up in customs, berated, and mistreated by a TSA agent.
We're always wary because whether or not you're a U.S. citizen, like Islamophobia still affects you, especially when you're from targeted countries.
Elafi, who came to the U.S. from Libya in 2001, says the Trump administration has made it more acceptable to hate Muslims.
When you walk through campus, there seems to be a kind of like pride or uproar within people who are Islamophobic, as well as xenophobic in general.
Elafi cited an example from the MSA Spring Dawah dinner in March, where an unknown individual abruptly yelled an expletive phrase from outside the student union ballroom. The hatred is not necessarily confined to words, as some Muslims have been physically attacked on rare occasions. Akach says he has friends who have been publicly harassed since the election in his hometown of Fairfield, Connecticut. One of his friends was pushed by a stranger in a mall, and another had her hijab pulled off while in the supermarket.
And that's starting to happen around the country. It's not like, you know, the only incident, but this is two things that happened in my neighborhood, like, you know, where I live, and we're talking about Connecticut, which is considered a liberal and a democratic state compared to, like, you know, what's going on in Texas or whatever. So there is a rise in Islamophobia, basically, in this country because of this election.
Because of Islamophobia, Muslims may feel uncomfortable demonstrating their faith in public, even if they are not faced with outright animosity. Arab Student Association President Ahmed Ouda, whose parents are from Egypt, says he feels scared if his mother goes somewhere such as Times Square in New York City, where there is exposure to many people.
I think especially Muslim women face a lot because they have an external expression of their faith with the scarf, you know, so it's tough.
Ibrahim says that social interactions with non-Muslims on campus are different for Muslim females with hijabs or males with long beards.
It is kind of always in the back of your head. What does this person think of me? What do they see me as besides me being a human being? What do they think of me being a Muslim?
Muslims' concerns that others perceive them negatively often stem from the fear of being misunderstood by outsiders. Suhail says a major reason for misconceptions about Islam is the news coverage that constantly associates it with violent imagery, even though peace is a major tenet of the religion.
You know, the 1.something billion Muslims in the world, they look at that imagery and they see it as the media kind of portraying all of them in that light, even though, like, that's so far from the truth.
Akach says people must understand that moderate Muslims living in the Middle East are the primary victims in any terrorist attack.
I mean, what they see going on in the Western countries is nothing compared to what Muslims see on their daily life back in, you know, like Middle Eastern countries. They always see this terrorism happening to them, they're the ones who are always losing family members. And they're the ones who are being, like, you know, denied of education and their basic necessities of life because of that.
According to the IHS Conflict Monitor, the so-called Islamic State militant forces controlled 23,300 square miles of Syrian territory as of December 2016. However, an Al Jazeera map from March indicates that the jihadists have been losing ground in the past few months. Nonetheless, Akat says he feels, quote, humiliated that the Islamist terror group controls so much territory in his home country. The situation even prevented one of his friends from visiting his terminally ill father in the hospital before he died. In order to counteract stereotypes about Islam being a radical and violent religion, MSA students emphasized engagement with others and sharing information. Ibrahim says that they have to reassure themselves that people view them positively while actively raising awareness about their faith.
If you always put yourself down as a Muslim that, you know, they're always against us, you'll never get anything done. And our best interest is to serve the community before we serve ourselves, and to make sure that everyone knows that we're on their side.
Suhail says there is much work to be done and that Muslims cannot expect the public to know everything about them.
We need to put ourselves out there and, you know, introduce ourselves as Muslim and talk to people about, you know, the kind of lifestyle that we live and how totally different it is from what they may have been thinking.
Some MSA members and affiliates express encouraging and positive opinions about the future. Akash says people should recognize Muslim Americans and the important roles they fulfill.
Yeah, Muslims fight, you know, as doctors, as engineers, as soldiers fighting with the country. So we are part of the American society, and that's something they have to understand very well.
Amar says he expects to see more American politicians of a Muslim background, and that he hopes they can evoke constructive change.
These politicians, they can need to sit down and find a way to protect the country without bothering the citizen, you know, at least the citizen, and without being any discrimination. I'm sure there is hundreds of solutions.
Despite concerns among Muslim Americans, Taslim says he is optimistic about the future, provided that Muslims present the best image of their faith.
I think when things like this happen, it's kind of like God kind of shaking us up and saying, you know what, it's time to wake up, right? So both for Muslims and non-Muslims.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
For WHUS News, I'm Darden Livesay.